Our first scripture reading is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 6th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. One who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. O Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Our gospel reading is from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 41. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. Trust in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on your gospel reading from Matthew chapter 27. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself." This is our text. It probably feels like a distinction without a difference. There's a little bit of a difference between insulting and mocking. Insulting goes to the character of a person. You dare to do something, and you don't want to do it. And they say, "What are you, a scaredy cat?" You're in school or in some group of people, and there's some task that everybody is supposed to do, and you're the one person in the whole group who can't do it. And everybody just looks at you and laughs as you fail. But mocking is more about the abilities. He saved others. Look, can't save himself. There are reasons that people sometimes have power to do things and yet refuse to do it. In fact, the world of literature is full of examples. Stories about a strong man, maybe he was a boxer. People want him to fight again, but he won't do it. Perhaps because guilt hangs over his head and he injured or even killed somebody in his last fight. There's those superpowers who don't always use their superpowers. Perhaps because they want to have some semblance of a normal life outside of their superpower existence. Or maybe it's because they want to protect those who are close to them. Because if everybody knew who he was, their lives might be in danger. But those aren't the kind of reasons why Jesus on the cross does not use his power. Come down from the cross. In fact, strange as this may sound, it is at this precise moment, as he's being mocked by those beneath him, that he is actually displaying the fullness of his power. Listen to this from Luke chapter 22 in verse 69. It's when Jesus is on trial before the Sanhedrin. They ask him, having failed to convict him of any crime, they want him to convict himself. If you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But here's the significant verse. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. From now on, from this moment on, he has yet to be nailed to the cross. We dare ask, what is the power that he is displaying? It is the greatest power that God values. It's the power of his love. Oh, God is just. God has great powers to do many things. He can create a world with just a word. But he doesn't use all of his powers all the time. His power to judge, for instance, he laid aside. Not forever, but for a time, so that in the person of Jesus Christ, he might be both just, as Paul says in Romans, but also the one who justifies. God's love, power he values most highly. And that power was on full display as Christ hung on that cross for you and me. The world didn't understand the power that kept him there as they stood beneath him mocking. Ha! He could save other people. Look! He can't even save himself. Not realizing that he's not saving himself because he can save other people. To the world, it was a full-throated display of weakness. To God, it was the most glorious display of the power of love ever made. And what was at work at the cross as the world stood there mocking? Still at work today in ways that God works to redeem people. But not just the world continues to mock the use of God's power. Sometimes we do as well. You see, God works his best through what the world identifies as weakness. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. When the world sees weakness, what it doesn't understand, that are those times, are opportunities for the greatest displays, God's power. But even we don't always get that. You know, so there's some kind of tragedy that happens in our lives. And we wonder where God was. If God had let down his care and protection over us or someone we know, forgotten about us for a few moments, letting something unthinkable happened to us. You know the times. One event that I've shared with you a few different times in the past was shared with me by one of my seminary professors. He had just come out of parish service, as many of my professors had, because we had lost all of our professors at St. Louis Seminary during the walkout just before I went to school there. And he had been a pastor in a very small rural parish for about 5 or 6 years. And there was a tremendous tragedy while he was pastor there. A young family who had a 3-year-old child. The dad had gone off to work in the fields, gone out, hopped on his tractor, was backing it up, and didn't realize that his little son had rushed out of the house, gotten him behind the tractor, and ran over him. The child died. Can you imagine the thoughts that run through people's head when something like that happens? Where was God? Where was his claim to love us? Where was his protective power? Not just as parents would people be asking those questions, but especially small town, rural. I'm not sure if it was Iowa or not. You can imagine a whole town thinking questions like that. Where was God? Where was his power to protect and to save? But something wonderful happened out of that tragedy. The family to whom this had occurred was a very devout Christian family. While this may sound amazing, as the visitation and funeral took place, as people would come in to greet them, the people doing the most comforting were the mom and the dad. Oh, yes, they grieved. Yes, they missed their child. But they would say things like, "But we know he was happy and joyful with Christ in heaven now. We know that he still lives. He has a wonderful life." Small rural congregation. In the next year, 75 people, according to this pastor, joined the church. And all with the same, if you will, rationale. What those parents have. The power they had to endure what they endured, we want in our lives. Yes, it was a tragedy. But God was there with his greatest power in the midst of it. His power to redeem, save people from sin and death and hell. No, it didn't look like God was there in power, but the power that God values the most was at work there. In that time when the world thought God was weakest. As Christ hung there to the cross, the world thought God was weak. But even in the weakest moments of life, God has the power to display his greatest glory. The glory he has in sacrificing himself to redeem others, save them from sin and death and hell. Even when we appear to have weak moments in lives, when others may be mocking us, perhaps mocking God, challenging him, and his talk about being merciful and loving, powerful to save. It is those weak times, in our own weaknesses, that the true power of God on full display. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.